Y'all feel that, don't you? I tell you, there's nothing like when God makes His presence known in the midst of His people. There are people, when the Lord shows up, they get real boastful. And Eric, I've never understood that. I tell you, when the Lord begins to move, it humbles my heart to think that the God of all creation loves us enough to come to us. And what a love He has for you and I. And church, we would do well to let that love manifest itself in our lives and show it to other people. I watched as we were singing, and there were faces that were happy and there were faces that were sad. And I'm glad this morning that God knows the state of our heart. He knows what we walked in with. He knows the heavy burdens that we bear. The wonderful thing about the Lord is simply this. He don't reject any, but He loves all. Now, I'm so glad this morning that He loves me. And there's a question that often comes to my mind in moments like this, and it's simply this. Who am I that He would love me the way He does? Who am I that God would send His only begotten Son to die in my stead? I'm a sinful man saved by grace, and I'm glad God desires to have fellowship with human beings. He loves us, and I'm so afraid that in the age we live, the message of the gospel is being drowned out by all the hate and vitriol and spitefulness that's going on around us. We do indeed live in the midst of a dark hour. But even in the midst of that darkness, there is a light that shines all the more brighter. It is the love of God. It's warm. It draws. It moves. And I'm so glad that God has chosen us to be a part of His kingdom. In the book of Isaiah and the 9th chapter, if you'll turn there, I want to read some scripture within your hearing. I want to go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll do our best to share with you what God has laid upon our heart. Let me say this. In the 8th chapter, there are some really, really difficult prophecies that Isaiah gives, or that God gives Isaiah. He speaks of a time when the leadership of the nation of Israel would seek after familiar spirits, that meaning evil spirits or worldly spirits, go unto wizards, and they would stop seeking the God of heaven. And it would be so bad. In verse 20 of the 8th chapter, it says, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to thy word, it is because there is no light in them. It is a time of tremendous darkness. It's to the point in verse 22, they shall look upon the earth and behold trouble and darkness and dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. What a dark prophecy, and what a negative and a hard prophecy that they would be driven unto darkness. We see in this prophecy, it is a time and a place without light. But oh, in the second chapter, in the 9th chapter, in the second verse, we see a light that begins to spring up in the midst of a dark land. And it says, the people have walked in darkness, but they've seen a great light. They that dwell up in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, not increase the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff off his shoulder. The rod of the oppressor is in the day of Midian. For every war or every battle of the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this type, this battle shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as I come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, being the name of Jesus, God, we're so thankful for that. Even in the darkness of this world, there is a light that shines. And in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls that have received your salvation, there is a light, and God, there is a draw, there is a burning, there's a love that the darkness of this world cannot apprehend. God, I'm so thankful this morning for your salvation. I'm so thankful for all these that are gathered together in the house of God. And Father, so many of our brothers and sisters are sick, and we ask you to be with all those, be with Kenny. We ask you to be with Regina, be with Chuck and his family, all these that have ailments. Certainly we ask you, God, to be with all of these. But God, this morning we ask you to speak to us as only you can. Shine your light in the darkness of our lives and illuminate, God, the greatness of your salvation, that we might rejoice in this season, for unto us a Savior is born. Oh, I'm so thankful. Lord, you shine the light of the glorious gospel into my heart as a 12-year-old boy, and God, I'm so glad I'm saved, and it's my desire, Lord, to see all saved. God, again, speak as only you can in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. As we read within your hearing this scripture, it is that of not only is it a judgment that is coming to the nation of Israel because they had turned on God, they had turned their back on God, and were looking unto everything and the things of this world and kings of this world for their happiness and for their leadership. And let me say that there truly is darkness, and there are principalities and powers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. We see those at work in the world today, but counteracting all that darkness, there is a light that shines in the midst of the darkness, even though around us and in our nation so many have turned away from God. There's still hope, and there's still light, and there's still life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the greatest hope that can be offered can be found in the church of the living God. And that hope is the same hope that has freed us from sin. That hope is the same hope that has delivered us into the hands of a loving God. And that hope is found when we find Christ as our precious dear Savior. Here in this great darkness that was in the land of Israel, the Bible spoke of a time when there would be light that would shine in the darkness. And I can't help but think about those shepherds as they were on the hillsides of Bethlehem. For 400 years, God had not spoken to the nation of Israel. For 400 years, they were under the captivity of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, and now the Roman government had occupied the territory and the land of Israel. It was a dark time. It was a time of very little prophecy. But in the midst of that darkness, there was a light that shined, not a light that man could shine, but it shined down from the heavens, a heavenly host. They testified to the fact that a Savior was born in Bethlehem. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and thank God he's still the hope in the midst of the darkness for our world today. I'm glad today that no matter how dark life gets and no matter how far our nation gets away from God, that all we have to do is repent and turn to Christ, and he will bring his light into our life. Or is it any wonder why David said, his words are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Listen, if you're in darkness this morning and you've never been saved by the grace of God, why don't you come on out of the darkness and get into the light? It's warmer in the light. It's peaceful in the light. There's love in the light, and thank God we're in the light if we've been saved by the grace of God. So even in the midst of that darkness, even in the midst of the land of the shadow of death, there was a light that shined. Listen, it says in verse 3, thou hast multiplied the nation. Notice this, and not increased the joy. In other words, their nation had increased, but there was no joy in the increasing or increasing of the nation. Let me say this. What he's saying there is they looked for joy in the government of the nation of Israel, and they found no joy. All they found was corruption and darkness. Does that sound like anything you've been watching or seeing here lately? Let me say this. Brothers and sisters, understand that so often in the politics of our age, it's full of darkness, it's full of anger, it's full of bitterness, it's full of those things that would carry our minds and our hearts away from God. And here they were, they tried to find joy in their nation, but there was no joy to be found. Let me say this. If you put your hope in politics, your hopes will be dashed to pieces. If you put your hopes in a leader outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, your hopes will be dashed to pieces. If you look even under this pastor as a man that can lead you outside of what God does through us, I want you to know you will be sadly disappointed. But thank God. Listen, they couldn't find joy in their nation. They couldn't find joy in their government. But oh, listen to what he said. He said, they joy before thee according to the joy of the harvest. My joy is in the Lord. Aren't you glad that even in the midst of this tumultuous time, we can find joy in the Lord? Aren't you glad there's joy in being saved? Aren't you glad I've got a dual citizenship this morning? I'm a citizen of the United States of America. But when I was 12 years old and God saved my soul, I've got a citizenship to a king and a kingdom that's not of this world. I got a king over there that'll never let me down. And I got good news for you. He's not just over there. He dwells right in here. So here they were. They said it's like the joy of a harvester rejoicing when men divide the spoil. Let me ask you this. Was it joyous when the Lord saved your soul? Boy, y'all are awful quiet this morning. Was it joyous when the Lord saved your soul to go from that? You know what? Sometimes we take and we emphasize in our testimony, if we're not careful, we go so far above and beyond. Let me say this. I'm going to tell you how I knew I was saved. I went down to the altar with a burden on my heart and a burning down in my heart. And I knew I was saved the moment that heavy burden left me. I didn't hear no angels singing from heaven. I didn't see any great light shining down. But I'm going to tell you, I can't put the words on the peace that came to my heart. And every testimony I've ever heard from the saints of God, it has that one word. It's peace, peace, peace. Aren't you glad this morning? When you get saved, God gives you peace. I didn't understand what all God had given me, but all I knew that was whenever I prayed and I asked Christ to save me and I confessed to him, he gave me peace. Brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people that think when you get saved, you got to walk the aisles. There are a lot of people think when you get saved, you got to walk the benches, or you got to shout, or you got to do all this or that. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord saved me, he gave me peace. And that's how I knew that I was saved. Now listen, it says this, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. The rod of the oppressor is in the day of meeting. Here It's a wonderful thing about Jesus. He carried the sinful burden of the world. He carried my sin. He carried your sin. He carried anybody ever who so will. He carried their sin to Calvary. You know how I know? It was a heavy burden in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And he prayed until the sweat drops and the teardrops became as great drops of blood. On the cross of Calvary, there he was stretched out. There he gave his life. The burden of your sin and the burden of my sin was upon him. He took that upon himself, and there he cried out, Father God, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he died and he gave up the ghost. But here's what broke the rod of the oppressor. Here's what broke the yoke of his burden. On the third day, the stone rolled away and he walked out victorious. The yoke of death has been broken. The yoke of sin has been broken. And thank God we have liberty in Christ. It's been broken to the world. The message is the rod of the oppressor is broken. Sin, its power is broken. Is it any wonder why Paul said, oh grave, where's thy victory? Oh death, where's thy sting? Thank God not even death has dominion over the children of God. He's broken the curse of sin. He broke it for you and he broke it for me. Oh, verse 5. Listen now, church. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. The way men take a kingdom down here, or the way men take a country, is the first thing they do, they noise it abroad what they're going to do and what their plans are. They create fear in the hearts of the people. When Hitler went throughout Europe and took it captive and killed so many and did all the evil things he did, he noised it abroad. He let them know what he had already done and what he was going to do to instill fear in their hearts, because he knew this, that fear would work against him and against any of them that have faith in God or in Christ. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. What we've heard over the last several months is just a noise. It's just men's words and the lies that they say. Listen, and the boastfulness of some of them, of the things that they might or they would like to do. I want you to know what comes next is God. Garments and vestures dipped in blood. It always ends up with man turning on men and killing one another, and it becomes a bloody battle. That's how mankind takes over a kingdom, but not our king. Our king is from heaven, and the way he fights his battle is with a burning fire and the fuel of fire. Let me tell you this, that fuel of fire is the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, thank God. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I tried to stay and I could not. The Emmaus disciples said, oh, how our heart did burn within us. Is there anybody in the house of God got some Holy Ghost heartburn this morning? This battle is not won with bullets and guns. This battle is won with a burning in your heart. The burning to turn to God. The burning, listen now, get this. Please understand this. There are a lot of people in this nation, people that call themselves Christians. They want to pick up their guns and their knives and they want to go to the streets and they want to go to battle. I'm going to tell you, it may come down to that, but I'm going to tell you how God's kingdom, to see, that's man's stuff. That's carnal stuff. God's kingdom is won on our knees in prayer with a burning of the heart. Not a burning of anger. You know what I wish what I pray. I wish people's heart would be burning with love like their heart's been burning with anger. Anger's destructive. It divides us and destroys us. Let your heart burn, but let it burn with love. That's all right. I don't have to have an amen on that to know where it came from. We need the Spirit of God to burn His love in our hearts. Why? How will all this happen? For unto us a child is born and a son is given. You realize God gave that child and God gave that son, God in the flesh, for you and for I. He was given. He was given. He was given. I want you to know there's nothing we can ever do to merit our salvation with God. There's not a good enough work. There's not enough money we can give. But thank God He is given. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but receive everlasting life. God said, Merry Christmas. I'm going to give you the greatest gift of all. I'm going to give you my Son so that you might be saved. Let me say this. The greatest gift I ever received was the day I got saved and I received the salvation of God. Well, the Bible says this, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now again, we're so worried about a government down here. Anybody worried? Oh, let's be honest. We'll fret and we'll worry about the government down here. But what about that government over there? We'll go out and try to get people to vote the way we want them to vote, and think the way we want them to think, and say the things we want them to say. I'm going to tell you, church, that's not, don't allow, listen to me, my deacons, don't allow that to come into the door. This is not a political place. This is a place where the love of God should manifest itself and draw men and women and boys and girls, Democrats and Republicans, black, white, to the altar of God that they might find Christ. Our cause is greater than the government of this world. They come and go. They rise and fall. The kingdom I'm serving and the king I serve is from everlasting to everlasting. Why are we going to spend so much time and effort and energy on a kingdom down here when the real kingdom that matters is the one that's been established over there and in the hearts of His people? He goes on to say this. Well, what are we going to call Him? Well, first of all, His name shall be called Wonderful. When I ask you this morning, what's it like to be a Christian? What's it like to be saved? Oh, is there anybody besides me that can just say it's wonderful? I'll tell you, oh, He's been so wonderful to me. That wonderful means mind-boggling, unable to comprehend. If we had 1,000 tongues to tell, we couldn't tell it all. I couldn't tell you how good God's been to me. I couldn't put it into words, but let me say this. He is wonderful. I'll go a step further to be a part of the body of Christ and be a part of a people that believe and to watch you as you grow in your faith and become families and see you grow in the grace of God and go with you through your trials and watch you hurt and watch you suffer and come out the other side rejoicing. I want you to know it's wonderful to be a part of the church of the living God. So how's life going for you this morning? Oh, it's wonderful. Because my heart right now at this present moment is focused on a kingdom that's not of this world. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. Oh, one of the greatest gifts I've ever received in the Word of God. Lord, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you always. What a counselor. Oh, in my darkest hour. Oh my. I don't even know how to express this in words. Kids, in my darkest hour, he speaks to me. Lead in my lowest time. Charles, when my heart is broken, he speaks to me. Oh, what a counselor. Oh, thank God, and all wisdom dwells in him. When I don't know what to do and don't know what the decision to make, oh, I've got a counselor, and he's never led me astray. And by the way, when I feel like that I've failed and I've done my worst, my counselor comes by and tells me he still loves me. Oh, what a counselor this morning. I'm so glad that he speaks to us down in the recesses of our soul. There are times at night, me and my feeble self, I'll lay there in the bed and I'm worrying about stuff and talking to the Lord. Has anybody heard this recently from your counselor? Be still and know. I got this. Under the covet of his wings, I got a counselor. He speaks to me. Thank God I've not just got a counselor, but he's the mighty God. Remember whenever he stood up on the edge of the ship and spoke to the sea and to the waves and to the wind and said, peace be still. And it said in the scripture, there was a great calm. I've got a counselor, and he's also the mighty God, because when he speaks, things happen. They said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? We're talking about the mighty God. While he was able to speak to the leper and his leprosy was cleansed, he was able, my friend, to touch the eyes of the blind and their eyes were open, the lame, and he made them to walk. Even got beside the grave of one of his friends by the name of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came forth. He is the mighty God. And in him dwells the fullness and the power of the Godhead bodily, Paul said in one place. That is to say, all of God's power is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. Aren't you glad this morning you put your faith in a king and in a kingdom that won't be gone tomorrow? It won't be elected and voted out of office. It won't change under the pressure of tyrants. We're serving a king and a kingdom that is from everlasting, everlasting. He said, behold, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Aren't you glad? We serve a king that always was and always will be. And because he always will be and he's everlasting, those of us that have been saved are also everlasting. But I think out of all of those titles, this last one might be the most precious. He is the Prince of Peace. Do you ever feel like you're overwhelmed with life and you look for something to find joy in and it gets swept away, or you look for something to find a little peace or take your mind away and it's gone? Y'all, I'll tell you what, the first 15 minutes of the ball game that Georgia played yesterday, my peace was gone. I say that in jest. I'm going to tell you, we put our faith, if we're not careful, in things that are temporal, and that makes our peace temporal. Whatever you put your faith in, if it's temporal, your peace will be temporal. It'll be here today and gone tomorrow. If you put your faith in the politics of this age, I pity you, because it is a roller coaster of ups and downs that never, never ends. But he is the Prince of Peace, the greatest gift of all things that he gives us is peace. greatest moments of my life have been watching the faces of those who went down with a storm in their soul. Come up with peace. To see these little girls that I loved, to watch you fall down before God in a broken state, trouble. And to see that beautiful grin when you popped up out of that altar and to know that you had peace. And I want everybody to have it. And God wants everybody to have it. Mo, I need to see you come up with peace. And there's a bond in that. It's unlike any other. It unites us. It's a love. It ties us together. Don't you want to see that for people? They're following causes that let them down. They're following politics that bash them. And they have no true hope and no peace. And until we see them as sheep having no shepherd. And so many of us are ready to fight them and ready to go to war. They don't have the peace you have. And he's the Prince of Peace. And we're his ambassadors. How can we carry a message of anger and strife and hatred and be an ambassador for Christ? And that stuff gets in us. And we can't say Merry Christmas and mean it. Our heart's full of trouble. But we know who to go to and who to pour it out to. And we can truly have his peace. Isaiah gives us all these names and tells us all of these wonderful things that he's going to do. And he never gives us a name. He gives us names, but he don't give us a name. May I finish this message with one verse? And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sin. Stand to your feet this morning. I can see as Isaiah's reading this, they're looking through a glass darkly in that Old Testament. All they've got is prophecy. And they're going, okay, but what's his name? What's his name? Tell us his name. Oh, he's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's a Prince of Peace. He's everlasting. But what's his name? And an angel speaks to Mary in one place and speaks to Joseph in another and says, his name shall be called Jesus. What a name. There isn't a name, as the old song says, there is a name that is above all others, reaching higher far than the brightest star. It's the lovely name of Jesus. Come get us a song. Come get us a song this morning. This morning, if you've never called upon this name to be saved, I tell you, there's only one name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. 'Tis the name of Jesus. There's only one name that you can call upon and find true peace. 'Tis the name of Jesus. There's only one name that we celebrate in this day and in this age and in this season. They call it Christmas because we celebrate Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God this morning. What about it? What you got, Steve? You need to pray this morning. This altar's always open. You say, Russ, there's no bench. No, but I'll tell you what, it don't take that. It takes you to get humble with God. Get on the knees of your heart and pray. God will hear your prayer. I'll assure you if you pray with the right heart this morning.